to Luke chapter 10 tonight. Luke chapter 10. Let me just say, I like to have a good time. I like to fellowship. I like to enjoy the blessings of God. But there are also serious times where we just got to get serious about life. And I'm sorry if you walked into here tonight going, man, I need to be encouraged. And then you hear these prayer questions like, oh, these are... It's going to put me over the edge. And no intention do I want to put anybody over an edge, all right? But some people some people need us tonight and need us to go on their behalf. So we'll try and encourage you with the message tonight that when you walk out, you're closer to the Lord. How's that? Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Joe asked me if I wanted a drink, and now I'm like, no, I don't need a drink. And now... here I am, choking. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city in the place whither he himself would come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this message. And Lord, as we walk out of here, Lord, I pray that, or maybe a simple but important truth would be drawn from this passage. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. Kind of interesting if you, for sake of time, we won't go that far into it. But in chapter 9, he does something very similar. In chapter 9 and verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God. Now, in chapter 10, same thing, but what do we have? 70. Well, that means that chapter 9 did well. If we started with 12, and then one chapter later we got 70, well, the 12 did what they were supposed to do. Well, now he sends them out 70 total, and two by two. Whether it was 70 more in addition to the 12, thank you, Mrs. K. Appreciate that. Thank you. Whether it was 70 plus the 12, making a total of 82, or 70 in place of the 12, really, honestly, does not matter. But we did see an increase in people. And he sent them. He sent them out. Sent them out two by two. And the thought I like in verse 1, it says, whither he himself would come. He sent them to places that he would have gone. And I stopped there for a second and I thought, man, that's an important point. He asked them to do something that he also would have been willing to do. We have to be careful, whether in our homes, our workplace, or even in the church, to be careful not to ask somebody something that we would ourselves never do. Well, it's right, then you do it too. I'm telling you, the best teacher is the teacher that teaches by example. For the most important things. Now, certainly there's, academically, there's 2 plus 2 equals 4, and you're just going to have to memorize some things, and you're going to have to learn the difference between a direct object and an indirect object, and you're going to have to learn all of those things and the difference between circuit series or parallel series in math or in science. You're going to have to learn those things. But there's principles about life, about the ministry, that are best taught by example. He says, I want you to go to all the places I've already gone. And that's going to be important. That I would have gone to. I want you to do nothing more than what I would have done. You know, sometimes we hold our children to an expectation of things that we ourselves don't do. And we demand something of them. Hey, if it's so important that they do that, then you do it. You're going to cause a bitterness and an animosity in your home, maybe in your workplace, maybe you're a supervisor. The best supervisors are the supervisors that have been that came through the ranks and did it. Because they remember. They remember what it was like. They remember what it meant to meet deadlines and all those things. And they did it and they led by example. Hey, even within the church, there's things that you can do. The best way to go is to do this, whither he himself would come. Hey, go clean that toilet. When was the last time you cleaned your toilet? Well, that's below my pay grade. Be careful that we are not holding certain people to certain expectations that we ourselves would not do. Let's look at a couple of verses. 1 Peter chapter 5 concerning that. 1 Peter chapter 5. The most effective teacher or leader is one that leads by example. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2, it says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." Know what that says? Can't make anybody do anything. Lead by example. Lead by example. Hey, you want godly young people in your class, or you want godly young people in your home, or you want godly young people around you? Show them what it means to be a godly person. You want to encourage those, saying, "I'm not a pastor. This is a pastoral passage. The principle applies." You may have a flock of two that live in a hall just down, in a room just down the hall from your house, in your bedroom. And your little people are looking to you. And your home. Hey, lead by example. Young man, it's important that you get up and read every morning and pray. Do you do that, Dad? Do you do that, Mom? Hey, everybody, sit in your offices at school and read and have devotion. Do we do that? Do we lead by example? Hey, young person in the Sunday school class or Sunday school class, read your Bible every day. Do you read your Bible every day? God sent out the 70 to go do what he had already done. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's an important point. Paul says this, "Be followers of me even as I also am of Christ." Hey, watch me. Watch me follow Christ. Watch what I do. Watch how I respond. Follow me as I follow Christ. Would that help Christianity or hinder Christianity if we followed you as you followed Christ? Those are the questions we need to ask ourselves. Because if we're not content with our own Christianity, why aren't we changing it? Why aren't we getting more serious about these things? Why aren't we making a deeper commitment to the things of God? Why isn't righteousness and godliness more a precedent? We demand it of everyone else, why not ourselves? Last night we had the privilege of going to the auditorium theater. We saw Fiddler on the Roof. Anybody familiar with this? You're not nearly as excited as I was. Okay, it was great. It was awesome. It was excellent. But in doing so, we have five children back at home. Now, the play is 3 hours. So we changed our approach to our children, and we said this: take care of yourself. So what does that mean? That means don't lord over each other. You just do right. And if someone is doing wrong, don't worry. We'll take care of it when we get back. Handle yourself. The little people in our home get in trouble when they try and tell everybody else what to do and they're not doing it themselves. Church members get themselves in trouble when they try and lord over everybody else, telling them what to do and they're not doing it themselves. The boss that can't, everyone talks behind and can't wait till they move along, is the one that tells them what to do and doesn't do it themselves. Hey, take care of yourself. Handle yourself. Handle yourself right. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. See, we're good with the have both learned and received and heard, but seen? That's what we need. We need Christ to be seen in us. He says, then go do that, and the God of peace shall be with you. No. All right. So what did he do? He sent the 70 out, or 82. He sent the group out to a place that he also would have come, doing what he would have done. Go back to Luke chapter 10. We just have a couple points here tonight. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now he tells us that there's a great harvest. Throughout the scripture, the Lord multiple times uses the illustration of farming to get the thought across about people. Now, were people actually growing up out of the ground? No. But they were ready to be converted to Christ. That's the reference there. He says, there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people, John chapter 4 and verse 35, right? Look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. They're ready. You just got to go out there and pick it. Just go out there and do it. And he tells them the same thing. He's like, hey, there are people out there ready. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I was telling Mrs. Wilson, Dollar General. And I was buying candy canes for next week for our special Christmas day at school, candy cane day. And so I've been carrying those nativity tracts around. Man, if you don't have a couple of these, grab a couple of these. These are great. And just pray that the Lord give you opportunity to hand these out. And it says on the front, he changed the world forever. A little red book, excellent cover, perfect for this time of year. So I asked a girl, I said, can I give you one of those? She goes, what's that? I said, that's a gospel tract. And she goes, sure, I'll take it. The guy behind me is like, gospel tract? He goes, I haven't seen one of those in years. Well, I got another one. Look at this. I gave him one. Yeah, what a blessing. Isn't that great? Hey, people are out there. Guy number two wouldn't have got it had I not given it to the lady first. It's like they're just popping up out of the ground. The harvest truly is plenteous. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So, if we can have that in our mind, and then we come to Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, he says, the harvest truly is plenteous. What does that mean? That means that somebody had done some planting. Yes? If the harvest is ready, that means someone was planting, someone was watering, and there was fruit that was ready. God had already gone ahead. There were people that were prepared and ready for Christ. We see that, remember when he calls Matthew? He goes to the man that was sitting there with the receipt of the custom, and what did he say? Follow me. You know what that is? Harvest. People ready. So they were prepared in their hearts. He's like, you just got to go out there and do it. You just got to get busy about it. Look at Luke chapter 8, the same book, Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. Luke 8, 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, right? We know this parable. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it up. But we jump all the way over to Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, and it says this. But on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Hey, some of the seed took root. Some of the seed, Christ had done something, prepared the way. They're ready. He says, I just need people to go out and go do it. Kind of like it was kind of like at the parade. There were more people there that needed gospel tracts than what we had available. We need more people. There's more people out there that need to be brought to Christ than are going. He says, the harvest is ready. You just got to go out there and take it. Go get it. It's a great harvest. Look at verse 3. He says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And this is a reoccurring thought that I have as I look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 3. He says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And I illustrated this with our teenager, or our school, just a little while ago. But lambs have every enemy in the world because they taste good. And they have zero defense. And he says, I'm going to send you out as lambs among wolves. I want to be the wolf, not the lamb. Don't call me a lamb among wolves. He's like, all right, you 70 or 82 or however many, go on out and you're like lambs among wolves. That means I have zero defense. That means there's people around every corner looking to eat me and devour me. I'm stay home. I don't want to go out in that. I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't feel like I'm safe in that scenario. But look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. In verse 26. John 12, 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. That's what we're talking about, right? If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, look at this really important next phrase. Him will my Father honor. Is he sending us out as lambs among wolves? Yes. But can you serve God and be out from underneath God's guidance and protection? And no, you can't. If you're honest to serve the Lord, if you're doing it with the right heart and the right spirit, God says, honor, the Father will honor you. He'll take care of you. Colossians chapter 3. Look there. And then we'll go back to Luke chapter 10. Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Yes, lambs among wolves, but God says, I'll watch over you. I'll protect you. I'll honor you. You have nothing to fear. Well, the way you described it, I have a lot to fear. Because I'm the lamb. And packs of wolves are going to be trying to consume me. And then we look over at, go back to Luke chapter 10 and verse 3. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Great. How many did he send out? In verse 1. How many did he send out? 70. 70 lambs go out among wolves. How many return? 70. Look at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He sent 70 lambs out among wolves, and 70 return. That tells me that the Lord's work is beyond any other work. God is aware of what's going on and what's happening, and they returned not drudgingly, not, you should have seen, it was all, they returned with joy. So what's the point of all this? Well, the point of all this is that the harvest truly is plenteous. So what do we do about that? I'm so glad you asked. Verse 2, last point. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That's the thought tonight. The thought is, God, will you please send? Will you please send laborers to go reap the harvest of people? Say, I don't want to pray that. Why not? Because I'm afraid he'll send me. We have to be afraid that he'll send us. We have to be willing to go. Prayer doesn't always, it's not always for the recipient. Sometimes it's for us. And we're commanded to pray that the Lord would send forth those into the harvest. When's the last time you prayed for a nation, a people, a neighborhood, that God would send somebody to them? Because they're just there waiting. Remember Brother Stokes? Remember Brother Stokes? He had that long list of all the people, unreached people groups, with the scriptures in their language. There weren't five names on there. There were a lot of names. And each next to it had a number of people that lived in that area. Anybody come forward and pray for anybody? Yeah? Do you remember the people that you were praying for? Ms. Wilcox?
Usagate.
I don't even know where that is. Are you praying for people there? Anybody else? Anybody remember their other group? I don't know how, but I got Zambia. I just came forward. I was right there. I looked at it in Zambia. I told Brother Sutliff. He's like, let's go! You know how he is. Are you praying that God would send forth laborers? He's not asking you to do anything he hasn't done. Say, I don't know, I'm worried. I'm a lamb among wolves. And the 70 returned with joy. Let's commit to pray for those places that God would send somebody. Let's all stand. Prayer is a powerful thing and it changes the world. I believe that with all my heart. We just need to be faithful to it. Commit to it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage. It's so powerful. And Lord, I pray that we would be obedient to the things that you've asked of us to do. Lord, I thank you for our church. And Lord, the time will only tell what impact we've had on eternity. And Lord, I pray that it'd be with joy. Lord, I ask you to bless our night, watch over us as we travel home, keep us safe. Lord, help us to be our lights in the places that you've placed us. That we would be bold witnesses. That we would take the opportunities that you give us. And that we would please and honor and glorify you. Lord, be with Mrs. Ken even right now. She's in the middle of surgery. Lord, give the doctors wisdom and Lord, help that procedure to go well and to respond well to the anesthesia and just all the circumstances. Lord, we just put it right in your hands right now. Lord, we love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.